We are teaching on the Dogon people. Not wholly unrelated, you know, to biblical truths. And you'll see the connection before I'm finished. I might finish one for a change, which is not the first time, but rather rare. The Dogon people worshipped a star with an orbit of 50 years that couldn't be seen. The question we were raising when we ended last night, how in the world did they know about it? How did a primitive people, without telescopes, without the ability even to see it, down through the centuries, build an entire social, religious, and male initiation rite around a star they couldn't see? They knew it had an elliptical orbit, which is where we were when we closed last night. They knew that Sirius A was one of the foci of the orbit of Sirius B, the star, give me a picture here, that was not capable of being seen. They knew the orbit was 50 years. How did the Dogon tribe, who had no access to the theories of Kepler, I'm reading the Sirius Mystery by Robert K.G. Temple, how did the Dogon tribe, who had no access to the theories of Kepler or his successors, know about matters like this? How did they get the idea in the first place that elliptical orbits existed, rather than circular orbits, much less applying it to a star that was invisible? Now, there's a primitive tribe that has worshipped this unseen star for centuries in the heart of Africa, in Mali, Timbuktu. How did they know? Applying an elliptical orbit to an invisible star way out in space. And to get it right by saying that Sirius A was at one of the foci rather than just somewhere in the ellipse. You know, they didn't have Sirius A just somewhere in the ellipse. They had a word for it and described it as one of the foci. Wouldn't the natural primitive idea seem to be, even if you wanted to say the orbit was elliptical, still to have Sirius itself at the center? But no, they knew too much to make a mistake like that. For the whole point about Kepler's law, late medieval era, beginning of the lights on the horizon of history that ushers in the Renaissance. The whole point about Kepler's law is that not only are the orbits ellipses, but the sun must always be at one of the foci. Otherwise, nothing will work. Now, in order to know all about this, you don't have to have Kepler. Elliptical orbits are in existence, as true here as they are on the other side of the galaxy or even some other galaxy. Kepler merely discovered a natural principle. He didn't invent it. So there was no need for the Dogon to know about Kepler personally. That's axiomatic. All that is required is an explanation of how they could have learned that principle from any other source, considering that they exist on this planet, and we don't know of anyone else on this planet living in Africa who discovered any of these things. How'd they know? The Dogon also know the actual orbital period of this invisible star. Now, you know, just go out in the middle of the night and look up and find the brightest star in the heavens, and it's Sirius. Sirius A. Not Sirius Business. Sirius A. And then try to find a star that goes around it. In the 1500s, an astronomer found it because it wobbled. He thought it was a big star. It wasn't. It was a little star. They hadn't discovered white dwarfs yet. So compacted that the gravitational pull is so great it would make Sirius, that's many times bigger than our own sun, wobble in its own orbit. Now, Sirius was at the foci of an elliptic, and this heavy white dwarf, unable to be seen without powerful telescopes, was orbiting around it every 50 years and making it wobble. Now, you know that because you're being told. Believe me, astronomy will bear it out now. These people in the middle of Africa knew the actual orbital period of this invisible star, which is 50 years. And in regard to the sacred Sigi ceremony of the tribe, the anthropologist said, the period of the orbit is counted double. That is 100 years because the Sigis are convened in pairs of twins so as to insist on the principle of twinness. The Dogon also teach not only that it is this invisible star, 50-year orbit, elliptical orbit, that Sirius B is at the center. They also teach that Sirius B, or rather Sirius A is at the center, and Sirius B, the white dwarf, is going around. Not only do they know it has a 50-year orbit, they insist it rotates on its axis. Now, they knew this before the Middle Ages discovered the Earth wasn't flat. It's too cold in here now. Demonstrating that they know a star can do such a thing. In reality, all stars really do rotate on their axis. But how did the Dogon know such an extraordinary... Am I boring you?
No, sir.
How did the Dogon know this? The Dogon are recorded as saying, quote, as well as its movement in space, Po, or Digitaria, also revolves upon itself over the period of 1 year. And this revolution is honored during the celebration of the Bado Rite. Now, it is not known to modern astronomy what the period of rotation of Sirius B is. The star is so small, we think we're doing well to see it at all. This author says, I asked one astronomer, G. Wegener, of Oxford's Department of Astrophysics and the University Observatory, whether 1 year might be a sensible estimate of the rotation period of Sirius B. He naturally replied that we had no way of determining it, but that a year could be right. In other words, it couldn't be ruled out. Well, the Dogon have been right on everything else. The Dogon described Sirius B as infinitely tiny. As we know, Sirius B is a white dwarf and the tiniest form of visible star in the universe. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this. Quote. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this. Quote. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this. Quote. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this. Quote. Now the reason I'm not finishing this, sometimes it's the cameraman. They're to blame. They didn't come here alive tonight. They're to blame. But what is really the most amazing of all the Dogon statements is this. Quote. You want me to finish?
Yes, sir.
But what? Quote. The star. Now listen. Can you imagine what those poor people are doing over at King's House 1? The star, which is considered to be the smallest thing in the sky, is also the heaviest. Digitaria, or pole, is the smallest thing there is. It is the heaviest star. Now, that's not as exciting as I made it, because we already told you that. But if you'll pause and think about it a moment, here is a primitive tribe in the center of Africa that for years have built their religious system and other rites around this. They know an invisible star is there. They know its orbit. They know that Sirius A, the one you see, is in the foci of the elliptic. They know what hasn't yet been discovered, that it rotates on its axis, and they say it takes one day to do it. Too cold in here. And they know it's the heaviest and yet the smallest. Long before white dwarfs were ever discovered. It consists of a metal called Sagala, which is a little brighter than iron and so heavy, quote, this is the way the Dogons described it, that all earthly beings combined cannot lift it. So we see the Dogon presenting a theory of Sirius B which fits all known scientific facts. And even some which are not known, it presents as well, including that there is a Sirius C, a third star, and that Sirius B rotates one day. They know that the star is invisible, but they know it's there nevertheless. Now look, you grow up in the middle of Africa, and your entire tribe builds its most important activities around the star. You say, Mama, where is it? Well, you see that one you see? Yeah. That's not the important one. There's one that you don't see. They build their action on it. Faith is action based upon the mind ascending and the heart believing. They are absolutely sure. How? That's the question we're asking. How? How do they know? You see, again, I'm telling you, the reason I'm on the subject is God left his tracks in remote places of history so that when man began to get smart again and discovered things, God could say, I got on the corner first, idiot. And I told these people that you couldn't find my secret. So I could say, don't get too big for your britches. God's been around a while. They know that the star is... Am I boring you?
No, sir.
They know that the star is invisible, but they know it is there, nevertheless. You ever heard about this down in Kentucky? Once I started teaching on it, they put it on search, but they did it wrong. They had the orbit basis wrong. Should have done their homework. They know that the star is invisible, but they know it's there, nevertheless. They know that the star's orbital period is 50 years, which it really is. They know that Sirius A is not at the center of the orbit, which it's not. They know that Sirius A is at one of the foci of Sirius B's elliptical orbit, which it is. They know that Sirius B is the smallest kind of star, which it is. They know that Sirius B is composed of a special kind of material, which is called Sagala, from a root meaning strong, and that this material does not even exist on the earth. They know that. They know that this material is heavier than all the iron on earth, all of which is perfectly true. For Sirius B is reality made of super dense kind of matter which exists nowhere on earth. All this forms the most sacred and most secret tradition known to the Dogon. It's the basis of their religion. It's the basis of their lives. Now, connected with all this are statements they make about the existence of a third star in the Sirius system, which they call the Imaya star. which in comparing it to Digitaria, they say is 4 times as light. They're very specific. And we've never, modern science has never discovered this one. I read the other night, I think it was 4 astronomers argued that they'd caught a glimpse of it and that it did exist. No one's ever proven this one, yet they're very specific. This Emmaya star is 4 times as light in weight and travels along a greater trajectory in the same direction and in the same time, 50 years. Here's these Africans telling us about, hey, their batting average is such. If I ran the telescope business of the world, I'd focus in one place till I found it. The respective positions of Sirius B, the one that is the Poe or Digitaria star, and the Sirius C, which hasn't been discovered, but the Dogon are very precise about, they not only tell you its relationship in weight and its trajectory, the respective positions are such that the angle of the radii, the radius of Sirius B, they say, is exactly the same, or rather at right angles, Sirius C. They don't only tell you its trajectory and its weight, they tell you the angle of its radius. Now, they got a good batting average. They don't deduce this from telescopes. They say somebody told their ancestors from the land of the fishes. Nomo is his name. Who is this Nomo? And who were their ancestors? And this last star, the Dogon say, this is not review, I've never told you this before. This last star, which is still non-existent to modern science, just as Sirius B was not discovered until the 1500s. This last star, they say, has a satellite, indicating that the Dogon appreciate that bodies other than stars are satellites of stars. Of Emmaya itself, they say, it is the son of woman, a little son. In fact, it is accompanied by a satellite which is called the Star of Woman, or Goetheard, as the guide of Emmaya. Now, I never do anything that isn't related. You have some hopes. If this is the territory of heaven, as they say, something was satellite to women. Instead of you being woes to man and fees to male. You got that, haven't you? Woe to man and fees to man. You got that, didn't you? You didn't. Men been bearing the woe and paying the fees. But this realm is different. You women have a star rotating around you. I'm in the business of trying to give a little hope. That went over like a lead balloon. Around the astronomical facts of, let's just go on, this extraordinary system, the Dogon have a complicated system of mythology. Sirius B, they see as relentlessly revolving around Sirius and never capable of reaching it. Here's another one of the Dogon drawings. The Sirius B going around Sirius A, which is not center, but a little down off center as the foci of the elliptic. They see Sirius B as relentlessly going around Sirius A, never capable of reaching it. And all these facts have mythological tales and personages connected with them, just as astronomy has mythology related to the stars. They have a whole system mythology built around this unseen star. This is interesting. Let us move beyond the Guru and Dieterlin article, those French anthropologists that wrote a Sudanese Sirius system, and let us now consider a later and fuller publication of book length, which is obviously too bulky to include within this book as an appendix, the Renard Pell, or the Pale Fox, published in 1965. Now this book by Griol and Dieterlin was produced 10 years after the death of Marseille Griol himself. It contains Mademoiselle Dieterlin's latest reflections on the Sirius system of the Dogon. It's a definitive compendium. Much of the joint findings of the anthropologists put together. In this, I'm boring you because it's getting technical now. She says, quote, "The excerpts concern the discovery, orbit, period, and density of the companion of Sirius. But in the further study, it's possible to learn much more." The excerpt that we've been quoting from gives the facts as we've given them to you. But a further study, written 10 years later, gives the ability to learn much more of the Dogon beliefs and knowledge relating to astronomy and the Sirius system. Of the moon, they say, it is dry and dead, like dry dead blood. Have you ever seen caked blood, you know, dry, dead blood? They're not too far off in that charcoaly kind of substance that covers the moon. And we're talking about natives in the heart of Africa that had no astronauts to take one great step for mankind. By the way, I just noticed in a sail at one of the stamp auctions coming up during this month in the city of Beverly Hills. I stay abreast of stamp things. I notice that Superior Stamp and Coin are selling one of those cachets, one of those covers, envelopes, carried to the moon for the estimated price is $17,000 plus. You realize how short a time ago they carried him there? Amazing. I just threw that in. Amazing. But we know, the point I'm making is, we can, if you got the money, go down and buy a letter that was carried to the moon and back. You got $17,000. But how did these people? No. Their drawing of the planet, see, the further book by these anthropologists expanded the astronomy and knowledge of the stars and the moon, the whole solar system that these primitive people had. When we had the Middle Ages when they were discovering things, even until recently, people wonder if there's life on the moon. These people would have told them. Dry, dead, like dry dead blood. Their drawing of the planet Saturn has rings around it. I mean, how did they know Saturn had rings around it? They didn't have telescopes. They didn't even have a pop-eyed priest. Planet planets are called tolotanazi, stars that turn around something. I want you to get a feel for this primitive tribe with a knowledge of astronomy centuries before. They began to discover these things in Europe. This does not mean turning around the earth. The Dogon specifically say, for instance, the Dogon for centuries have said this, when the church was calling it blasphemy to think this in the Middle Ages, the Dogon were saying Jupiter follows Venus by turning slowly around the sun. How'd they know this? I've said that before, haven't I? I want you to understand what we're... They didn't climb a tree and get a little closer and figure it out. The various positions of Venus are recalled on a very large geographic space by a series of altars, raised stones, and arrangements in caves and shelters. The positions of Venus determine a Venus calendar used by these people. In fact, the Dogon have four different kinds of calendars. Three of them are liturgical or religious worship calendars: a solar calendar, a Venus calendar, a Sirius calendar, and the fourth is an agrarian one and is lunar. So they have a lunar calendar for their crop activity, and they have three religious calendars, one built around Venus orbit worked out with altars and stones on the ground, one built around Sirius B, mind you, the one you can't see, and one built around the sun. Primitive Dogons. Now, you want to know how they found this out? The Dogon know of the existence of four other invisible heavenly bodies besides Sirius B. They work, get yourself clear away from me. He did it. Yes, he did. A woman wouldn't do that. I keep giving you chances the whole 2 hours. I'm boring you, too. They built everything around Sirius B, which is invisible to the natural eye, and they had no telescope. But Dogon know of the existence of four other invisible heavenly bodies. Now listen, Tonya, somebody comes down the street and has no way of knowing all this and tells you everything that you later can confirm with your scientific instruments, and they say somebody told them, I'd start looking for the somebody. Wouldn't you? The Dogon know. Don't think, speculate, theorize. The Dogon know of the existence of four other invisible heavenly bodies besides Sirius B. Who told these people? These other four bodies are in our own solar system. For the Dogon know of the four major, for the Dogon know of the four major, four. Glad we got away from butts to four.
This is the end of side one.